0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of Scottish Cup final weekend. Will it be one of the all-time cup final shocks if Aberdeen can get past a rampant Celtic, or will it be yet another treble for Brendan Rodgers? We will find out tomorrow. A shock managerial exit today. Michael Vimmer has left Motherwell. And in terms of who will play in the Premiership next season, it's all poised between Livingston and Ross County. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans.
One third of the Premiership now looking for new managers. Vacancies at Rangers, Dundee, Kilmarnock and now Motherwell. This isn't a managerial merry-go-round, this is the Big Dipper. But first of all, Aberdeen against Celtic. Logic says Celtic win the cup. Reason says Celtic win the cup. Form says Celtic win the cup. Now comes the but. But can the Celtic players and Brendan Rodgers carry the burden of history? A world record-breaking ninth treble is a game away. Club history is one game away. No Celtic manager has ever won three trebles. Brendan Rodgers can do it tomorrow. What a day we have in prospect, Cammy.
Yeah, massive day tomorrow for Celtic, but also the opportunity for Aberdeen as well to spoil the party. They'll want to go there and try and lift that Scottish Cup, but as you say, so much riding on it for Celtic as well, and they'll want to get that treble over the line.
0141 951 1025. That is the number, so please do give us a call right now. It's one of the best weekends of the Scottish football calendar, one of the flagship events, the Scottish Cup final, and it is tomorrow. So how are you all feeling? Celtic fans, can anything stop you? Is there anything that's spoiling your optimism? Or are you fully expecting the treble to be completed tomorrow? How is your mood? Because I know the way football works, although you're dominant and you're favourites in every game, some people just worry. Some people like Hugh Keevans, they like to see the dark side of everything.
Yeah.
So maybe you're one of those Celtic fans who just thinks, well, we have to lose one at some time and maybe it'll be tomorrow. Or are you just too strong? Give us a call right now and let us know. Perhaps more interestingly then, how do you feel, Aberdeen fans? Do you feel like lambs to the slaughter? I did not even mean that as well. Pardon the pun.
No.
I genuinely didn't. Or do you actually think you could, despite the lack of expectation, go and cause something and spoil the party, as Cammy says, for Celtic? Is it sometimes better when there's little expectation? Give us a call. How do you see the game panning out? Are you heading along? How do you feel about it generally? It's the final chance to get your team lineup suggestions in. So Celtic fans, what are you thinking? Does it pick itself? Would you play James Forrest from the start or not? Give us a call on that one. 0141 951 1025. Is there anything else in there? Anyone else you want to see given a chance? Who takes Reo Hatate's spot? Is it Paolo Bernardo? Is it Luke McCowan? Is it someone else? Again, same number, 0141 951 1025. So give us a call on all things Scottish Cup, please. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers, we'll hear from Jimmy Tilleen, but most importantly, want to hear from you. You can't beat a bit of breaking news this afternoon. Do you want me completely honest about this? Hold my hands up. I was
okay.
Relaxing by the side of an outdoor swimming pool, just enjoying a slow Friday afternoon.
You must be on some
beautiful
week. When the phone went from a disgruntled Motherwell player who will remain nameless to say, manager's gone. Then the phone goes into overdrive, and yeah, a bit of a shock this afternoon for me with the old claret and amber hat on. So, how do you feel, Motherwell fans? I take it none of you saw that coming. That kind of goes without saying. So speak to us about your shock, your surprise, and kind of what you make of it. Where do you go from here? And then more generally, as Hugh says, a third, one third. Don't ask Gordon DL what that is in percentages, but one third of the Scottish Premiership clubs are looking for a manager as we round off the season this weekend. It is quite incredible. So Motherwell, the main sort of breaking news today. What do you make of it, Motherwell fans? But by extension, Kilmarnock fans, looks like Stuart Kettlewell's your man. Who's going to get the Dundee job? Who's going to get the Rangers job? There is a lot going on out there, so give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. I can barely remember, well, I can't remember an end to a season like this.
No.
In terms of management, Hugh,
I take it club by club. If there's no Rangers manager by this time next week, there'll be pandemonium on this programme. If there's no Dundee manager by this time next week, then the fans will say, OK, that's fine, just take your time and get the right man. I have to think the odds are on Stuart Kettlewell becoming the Kilmarnock manager. I can't see anyone who is challenging him at the moment. He looks a shoo-in. Motherwell, 12 games Jimmy Tilleen lasted.
Michael Vimmer. Nearly.
Michael Vimmer, what am I talking about? 12 games Michael Vimmer lasted and has gone to the third tier of German football. Now, you can say, oh, it's a slap in the face, but there are domestic reasons for Michael Vimmer going to the third tier of German football, and they are perfectly understandable domestic reasons. We have to allow for real life.
Come on then, what do you think? 01419511025. So much going on there with the four managerial vacancies, but at Scottish Cup final weekend as well. It's always a special feeling about it.
Was that a Freudian slip I made there? Could Jimmy Tilleen be manager number five?
That's all we need, because I don't think, you know, the wheels are already. Derek McInnes went from Kelly to Hearts. Now Who goes to Kelly? Don't try to sort of figure it all out. There's a lot happening. Partick Thistle job is still vacant. We'll throw them into the mix.
And Jim Duffy came back into football today as well. Assistant manager at the Queen's Park. I've texted him and said that from now on I shall only refer to him as James Duffy now that he's gone to the Queen's.
I just wonder if that means he's given up the chauffeuring. That's what I'll need to find out, because he was driving worldwide superstars like Triple H from the wrestling around.
Who?
Nah, never mind. Cammy will have heard of him. That's more your era.
Yeah.
He's been driving about some hotshot people.
He might keep it up just at night times.
Just keep his chauffeur's cap in the dugout once the game's finished.
It's a pity Lord Hockey's going from the Queen's. He could have driven a Lord home. Not now.
Come on down. 01419511025. That's the number you need. Scottish Cup final tomorrow. How are you feeling about it? Confident, I assume, Celtic fans? Are there any of those glass half empty types out there who just worry that these things can go wrong? Or are you all fully expecting a level of success tomorrow?
We're sitting beside living history, you know, because Cammy and I were having a chat about all these managerial changes and the cup final and so on. And he was part of a Celtic drama, a Celtic shock. 2012, League Cup final, Kilmarnock defeated Celtic. Goalkeeper for Kilmarnock, who had the game of his life that day, Cammy Bell.
What is that then, Cammy? Is that just, you know, do you just proof that there you go, it can be done? Should we acknowledge that Celtic they did have some issues at Hampden around that time, didn't they? Which they don't seem to have anymore. But again, you've shown it can be done.
No, it certainly can be done. But again, what I said to Hugh is, when you look back and you reflect on it, everything has to go your way. As a smaller club playing against the giants of Celtic or Rangers in these cup finals, and certainly Celtic, the way they've handled themselves in recent cup finals, that they always seem to get over. Everything has to go your way. I heard them earlier on. I was listening to a podcast and people speaking about, your goalkeeper has to have the game of your life. I had the game of my life in that game. You have to make saves that are exceptional. Your whole team has to play well. You have to carry that bit of luck. And I think that's what it's going to have to be for Aberdeen tomorrow, because I see the gulf between the two teams are big. And if Celtic turn up, for me, they win that game easily.
Yeah, see, look at the league table. 39 points separated Celtic from Aberdeen when the final league table was compiled last weekend. 39 points. Celtic have taken 19 goals off Aberdeen in matches so far this season. It is all too good to be true. And also, the historical aspect. World record-breaking ninth treble. Brendan Rodgers could become the most successful Celtic manager by virtue of winning three trebles. No Celtic manager has ever done it. It's a fascinating day tomorrow.
Stephen's a Celtic fan. How do you feel about it, Stephen? What are you thinking, Stephen?
I honestly think that Celtic will take 6, 7, maybe 8 out of Aberdeen tomorrow. I really, really do. Celtic are so far in front of them. Like what Celtic done to them a month ago or whatever at Pittodrie. And Hampden's a far bigger pitch. Maeda will have so much fun tomorrow, it's unbelievable. Honest to God, I can't see by Celtic. But I'd be upset if Celtic only 3 or 4 maybe five up at half time.
You would be upset if Celtic weren't five up at half time.
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
Honestly.
You never know whether people are winding you up or not. But, you know, first of all, I think
Stephen sounds pretty sincere.
Yeah. But I can assure Stephen it won't be seven or eight. I think the last time they played...
This could be the Hugh Keevan's prediction of Hugh Keevan's predictions.
Yeah, but I'll say it again. It won't be seven or eight. I know that Celtic took six off Aberdeen, League Cup semi-final, earlier this season, and they put out what we'll call a makeshift team against Aberdeen at Pittodrie and scored five. But it's a cup final. It's a one-off. Different things apply on cup final day. And, you know, I think Celtic will win. And I think Celtic will win handsomely. And the weight of history, they will be able to carry that burden because that's what people like Brendan Rodgers do. That's what clubs like Celtic do. But it will not be seven or eight.
The only thing that always sort of comes into the back of my head, Cammy, on occasions like this is it's just the times when you do think it's going to be really, really straightforward and it isn't. I couldn't really make a big case for Aberdeen. But I do remember just a couple of years ago, Celtic under Ange and never stopping and all that sort of stuff. And they played Championship Inverness. I mean, Hugh's rhyming off the points gap between Celtic and Aberdeen, but they are still the fifth best team in the country. It's the first against the fifth best team in the country. Celtic played Inverness in a final. I think the score went to 2-1, maybe until late in the game. Celtic won it and deserved to win it, but, you know, I'm sure heading into that game, we would have had calls saying, you know, this could be anything in a cricket score. And like, sometimes football just doesn't. It just doesn't work out.
No,
like
it
that.
Doesn't always pan out the way that league tables certainly suggest. And Hugh's referenced that it's a cup final. Anything can happen. Again, a refereeing decision early in the game can change the whole outlook of the 90 minutes. So, yeah, listen, the Celtic players will know that as well. They'll know they have to go onto that Hampden pitch and perform, play at their best to win comfortably. Because Aberdeen will do everything in their power to try and make it difficult for Celtic. But listen, you look through the Celtic team, their squad, the players they can bring on the pitch to affect games. I just can't see anything by Celtic. It's so important for Aberdeen that they don't concede early. Because I think if they concede early, they could absolutely collapse. I'm not going to say it's going to be 7 or 8, but it could be very, very comfortable for Celtic. But the longer Aberdeen stay in the game, the Celtic fans have got this expectation that they should easily win this game. The longer Aberdeen stay in the game, the more frustrated the Celtic fans could get.
There are two ways of looking at it for me. This is a very Celtic thing to do. In the midst of accumulating trophy after trophy after trophy, they could break a world record. The Celtic fans would love that. The manager could assume a special place in Celtic history by becoming the first one to win three trebles. Brendan Rodgers, I am certain, would love that as well. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the other side of the coin. When Aberdeen beat Celtic 35 years ago, the last time they won the Scottish Cup, you know, you're talking about a Celtic side who were, at that point, superior to Aberdeen, but still lost.
First Scottish Cup final I was alive for.
Really?
Yeah. How does that make you feel?
Terrible.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers then. His thoughts on going for the treble.
We set out nearly 11 months ago with the objective to win the three domestic trophies, and we've won two, and we have one more game to do the third one. So that there, alongside our progression in Europe, it would end what would be a brilliant season for us. So now what the expectation is, it's incredible, really, how that has transpired, really, to be, you know, the norm as such, that you're sitting declaring that the treble is what we want to achieve. But we can't be frightened of that either. So, yeah, so the players have the chance to etch their names into the concrete. That's, and it never gets taken away from them. Once you've done that, you know, then you have that possibility to do it. So it's something that we relish that.
Etch their names into the concrete.
Oh,
there
yeah,
you go.
Like
that's
that.
What's at stake. Yeah. You're going to steal that tomorrow,
yeah,
aren't you?
Exactly. And yeah.
With James is on the line. Is it going to happen, James? Any nervousness at all around the final, or are Celtic just too strong in these occasions now?
Hey, good evening, Cammy, Hugh, Gordon.
Hello.
I would say we will win. I don't think it'll be an onslaught, but I'd happily take 2-0 or 3-0 as long as we win. That's the most important thing. We have better players in every position. And if it did happen, Aberdeen won, I'd say well done to them.
They've
tried that many times to win.
That's true.
Came up second best. So if it was turned tomorrow and Aberdeen won, I'd be gutted. But I'd be pleased for Aberdeen, especially because of our fans who travelled so far up and down to Glasgow to see the final and the game of hee-haw.
I don't even hold this against James, because I see where he's coming from, but yeah, we're now at the stage where it's, I could take a 3-0. I mean, that is the level of I guess dominance in these fixtures recently, going for a sixth treble in eight seasons.
Yeah.
Hugh, Brendan Rodgers has never lost a game at Hampden. He has never lost a Scottish Cup tie.
Correct. Yeah.
It's just to package it like we did at the top. I know we'd prefer to view it through the lens of kind of football analysis, but they won't win forever, you know. So that's kind of all you've got left, isn't it? Whatever that means, whenever it ends, presumably he doesn't stay unbeaten in the Scottish Cup from now until the end of time. But
I was taking Cammy over my 55 years in this racket, and I think Cammy was falling asleep at that point. But go back to 1970, Partick Thistle 4, Celtic 1. I mean, no one believed it. The television companies were actually checking the score to make sure it was true. And that's why we got round to 2012 in Cammy. 1994, Gordon DL, Raith Rovers beating Celtic in a cup final. So it can happen. But I go back to the facts and figures, the 19 goals that Celtic have scored against Aberdeen, the 39 points that separate the clubs in the league table, the history that is available to Celtic tomorrow, both for the manager and for the club and the players. And I summarise it all by saying, if Celtic don't beat Aberdeen tomorrow, it is entirely Celtic's fault.
I suppose, though, look, in the context of cup shocks, though, 39 points between the sides isn't that much, is it? You know what I mean? In the context of cup shocks, like I said, it's still first v fifth, so it's bound to be a certain level of points gap.
But yeah, I'm taking your point on board that, you know, one day the law of averages kicks in and Celtic don't do it. But now, at 20 past six on Friday night before the cup final, if Celtic don't win the cup tomorrow, it's Celtic's fault.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Cammy. This is the sort of difficulty. This isn't Celtic's fault. But when you have this level of dominance, it is natural that the conversation is sort of looking for ways, you know, trying to make a case for the other team. That's just how we have to almost approach it. Otherwise, we get to 2 minutes past six every day, we just say, yeah, Celtic will win, there's nothing more to be said, and you know, you move on. Aberdeen, some of those players might hang on to, you know, the 2-0 draw at Celtic Park. They'd have to ignore a lot of other bad results this season against Celtic. They might, even if they want Hampden references, they might go taking Celtic to penalties, you know, in the semi-final last season.
But they've got to hang on to something. They've got to go there with belief. There's no point in turning up tomorrow if they don't believe they can actually do it. Again, referring back to 2012 when we won it, we believed we could win the game. Of course we did. We went there hoping that everything would go in our way, but go our way. But I just believe that the Aberdeen players have to believe they've got to win. But as I said before, I think everything has to go their way. They have to find Celtic on an off day, and I just don't see that under Brendan Rodgers. I think he's too good a manager. I think he's so focused on getting over the line, getting this treble in the bag, making history. I just can't see past them tomorrow.
James, would you start your namesake, James Forrest?
Yes, definitely. Well, listen, I've got a wee second point. Is it okay if I put it over?
Of course,
it is.
On you go.
Right, it's a hypothetical question at the moment. If Celtic qualify for the Champions League, wouldn't it be ironic that we draw Tottenham in the same league? And if we did draw them, who do you think would win?
Would you like that, James?
Oh, I think that'd be sensational. You're going to get a ticket for dust, gold dust.
All the teams
in the world would be watching this live. Imagine it. Ange coming to Parkhead by Tottenham in a Champions League game, or us going to air. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
You need to be absolutely certain that Ange will still be there. You know, because Daniel Levy, in charge of Tottenham, English football in general, even though Ange has won the Europa League, there is still no absolute guarantee he'll be there. However, if he was there and Ange brought a team to Celtic Park, you're right, the interest would be off the scale. And I'm sure that Ange would love it because he gave Celtic two tremendous years.
Depends what, you know, James says who would win. Depends what version you get. If you get the English Premier League version of Spurs, yeah, you've got a really good chance.
Yeah.
And having said that, they can't take anything away. They won the trophy. You know, we saw them in Glasgow. They weren't amazing every round of the Europa League, maybe they'll be new and improved next season.
I think if it was a home and away, or if it was at Celtic Park, I think Celtic would win.
There we go. Thank you. That's not the prediction I expected from you. Thank you to James on the line, 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking about tomorrow's big cup final then? I'd like to get the Aberdeen perspective just to see, because everyone in this part of the world is bound to be writing you off. Do you agree? Would you be writing yourself off? Or do we need to remember anything can happen in a football game? Give us a call. Michael Vimmer's left Motherwell. Motherwell fans, what are you thinking? There's a lot going on. Give us a shout. I'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are here on the eve of the Scottish Cup final. Of course, we've got a big managerial vacancy. Yes, another one today, in case you've just joined us. Michael Vimmer, no longer at Motherwell. A third of the Premiership clubs are looking for a manager. That is quite something. Let's bring in Andy, who's on the line. Andy, as a Celtic fan, how are you feeling about tomorrow?
Very confident. You know, I think the only team that can beat Celtic tomorrow will be Celtic. One of the questions I'd like to ask you, Keevans, in particular, is that if Celtic fail to win tomorrow, would this be the biggest failure in living memory of a Celtic manager?
No, no.
Give me the one that beats it, Hugh.
Well, Jock Stein lost to Partick Thistle at a time when he was halfway through.
He did all right, didn't he?
Yeah, halfway through the first nine in a row. And 2 years earlier had won the European Cup, first British club to win the European Cup. So
Partick Thistle beat memory, though, for most of us.
Ah, well, you asked me living memory, I'm still
he
alive.
He remembers everything, Andy.
You're a bastard, Gordon.
Well, yeah, but you asked me specifically.
But
and
it would be loads, though. Like, what do you mean? Like, what? So we're throwing every Celtic have had failed managers, so it wouldn't be worse than, you know, what, Tony Mowbray, St Mirren, or John Barnes. Am I missing the point?
No,
of the question?
I think what Andy final means is in cup finals. Right, okay, yeah, and I regret to say, Andy, that I'm still alive, and I spoil your argument a little bit there. But in my lifetime, Jock Stein, 2 years after winning the European Cup, halfway through nine in a row for the first time, lost 4-1 to Partick Thistle. That was a bigger shock.
I believe this Aberdeen team are worse than the team that Super Cali went ballistic at Celtic Park with John Barnes' team. I believe they're a worse team.
No,
we're in danger of being disrespectful to Aberdeen here. You know, they are grossly inferior to Celtic. They are, go back to the 39 points, and the Celtic winning 6-0 at Hampden early in the season, 5-1 at Pittodrie. But we're in danger of being totally disrespectful and forgetting about football's unpredictability. Gordon Dalziel will be on the phone in 10 minutes to remind us all of 1994 and Raith Rovers beating Celtic. You have to allow for unpredictability. It's not, you know, the first caller said he'd be unhappy if it wasn't 5-0 by half time. So we're in danger of running away with ourselves here. It's a cup final, and it will have all the constituent parts of a cup final. There'll be no 5-0 lead at half time, there'll be no 7 or 8. But Celtic must be the overwhelming favourites to win the match.
By what, like, by what measurement is this Aberdeen team worse than that Inverness team? Andy, like, there are ways of judging football teams. It tends to be, you know, league placings and what league they play in and so on. But what criteria would you use to say that this Aberdeen team is worse?
Purely visually, from what I've seen in the last few weeks, this is an Aberdeen team that went to Ibrox, an Aberdeen team that allowed Celtic to go to Aberdeen and bully them with a second string. I genuinely believe that Jimmy Tilleen has taken them backwards, no forwards.
Well, that might be the case, but
again, I feel like those are two separate things, yeah, Cammy, because those arguments that Andy mentioned there, to be fair, they're exactly why we all think Celtic are big favourites.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep going back to, it's first in the league against fifth in the league. So we've got to just kind of like remember that. This is not a tie that's two teams separated by multiple divisions or 15, 16, 20 places in the football pyramid. It's first v fifth. Aberdeen got to the semi-finals of the last cup. They've got to the final of this cup. They finished fifth. They were within touching distance of third. You know, we need to maybe just relax a wee bit about it.
No, I totally agree. And we need to remind ourselves, yes, a lot's happened between Aberdeen and Celtic this season, but again, they did draw 2-2 at Celtic Park earlier on this season. A lot of the same players within both their squads. So there is that possibility. And I don't think, yes, the gulf's big, but we have seen shocks happen, so Celtic will need to be on their guard. And listen, Brendan Rodgers won't walk in there thinking, when he walked through them doors at Hampden, thinking he's won that trophy by walking there and just turning up. He'll know his players need to perform. The pressure's on them, so that's an element that Celtic need to deal with. They normally deal with that very well. But again, we all speak about the unpredictability of football. Anything can happen, a refereeing decision. Again, Celtic not playing at their levels, thinking it's too easy, and Aberdeen raising their levels. So, yes, I think Celtic will win the game, but do I think it's going to be a walk in the park for Celtic? No, I don't really think so.
Andy, would you start James Forrest? How are you feeling about him, given his history-making exploits?
I wouldn't start James Forrest, no. I would start the very same Celtic team that I think Brendan Rodgers has been pushing out for the last probably month. Mm-hmm. I think he's had it set in his head that Ida was playing. I think Maeda will play on the left. I think, Kuhn will be in the right. And when you look at the boy Shinny, So, Cammy's kind of a validated... My point actually that you say that Celtic go there complacent, then that's the danger, and that's exactly what I mean with saying the only team that can beat Celtic will be Celtic. So and I don't believe Brendan Rodgers will let them go there with that mindset. Those words actually will become iconic. I think that you can carve your names in stone. So that's what these guys are going there to do. And I think Aberdeen I think they'll be looking for the bus at half-time, if I'm being completely honest.
Ooh, we're back to disrespect.
But that's entirely possible as well. I don't feel confident to say Celtic won't have a strong lead at half-time. I think that's possible. I just don't think it would be the biggest ever failure from a Celtic manager
I think there's a danger of supporters becoming utterly dismissive. On the eve of a cup final, I wouldn't go there.
But I mean, at the same time, I think you can just we beat them 6-0 at Hampden earlier this season, so I don't think it's crazy to be a certain level of confident.
No, listen, they will be confident going there. Of course they will. They've got two trophies in the bag. They want a third, so they'll be confident. There'll be no fear there. They'll be excited about the game. But also, for me, Brendan Rodgers won't let them be complacent, because Andy mentioned it there. They're the only team that can beat them. Yes, Aberdeen would play a part in Celtic getting beat, but Celtic would play a huge part in themselves getting beat as well, because they would have to underperform for Aberdeen to win the cup tomorrow. So I don't see the manager allowing that to creep in. It's a big game. They win finals, as we spoke about, mostly. But I just can't see past Celtic tomorrow.
Are there any real debates about the Celtic team? Will James Forrest play? Are there any others?
I don't think he'll play from the start. I think he's a wonderful asset to have for later on in the game, either to cement victory or to create victory. But I agree with Andy on the line. I think it will be Kuhn, Adameda and Dyson Maeda. I think Brendan Rodgers would be reluctant to leave out Adameda, because it would then allow people to say, told you so. So he'll start. I never go along with this. He scored the goal that won the cup last season. Therefore, last season was last season. You can only deal with what's going on now. But James Forrest, I think, will be there for the grandstand finish.
Brendan Rodgers will play. I think he'll play the team he's been playing. I think Forrest will be on the bench. Yes, I think he'll play part of the game, but I think he'll play the team that he's been playing. He'll be confident in them players that they can go and win the game. And also, as I touched on earlier in the show, that the subs have a huge impact for Celtic as well. If the game isn't going the way they're wanting, Aberdeen are sitting in with a low block and making it really difficult. They've got players on the bench that can change that game as well.
Bernardo for Hatate, any other?
Personally, I'd go for Luke McKibben, but I suspect that Paolo Bernardo will get the chance from the start. You know, Celtic get into this final minus Jota, minus Rio Hatate. You know, they've lost two major players there, but you know, that's what strength and depth is supposed to do for you. You can compensate for the loss of even £25 million players and Hatate, who, you know, has been superb for Celtic.
Yeah, again, the strength and depth's incredible.
Who would get your nod out of McCowan and Bernardo? I mean, he's
McCowan for me.
Would he? Yeah. I mean, he has been playing Bernardo, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think Bernardo will play, but I would play Luke McCowan. I like him. I think he's got a real energy. He's got real quality as well. So I just think he would bring a little bit more speed to the Celtic game tomorrow, and which they might need, because I think Aberdeen will probably come in and try and sit in and make it difficult for Celtic for long periods. Because as I say, if they concede a goal early on, it could be really difficult afternoon for them.
Okay, thank you, Andy. 0141 951 1025, that is the number that you need. So why not give us a call, let us know how you're feeling about the big cup final tomorrow. What else is out there? Motherwell fans, Michael Vimmer has left the club. How surprised were you at that? And what happens now? Give us a call. We'll talk about that next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Why not give us a call, send us a tweet, build up to the cup final, react to today's news, whatever that may be. It's all about managers, really. The stat that Hugh introduced us at the top, and it's quite incredible, one third of the division now looking for a new manager because Michael Vimmer is no longer at Fir Park. I wonder what Hugh, the Motherwell fan, on the line makes of it.
Good evening, gents, how are we?
Good, how are you? Shocked?
As yourself, Gordon, yeah, extremely shocked when I get the text message today. I couldn't believe it. I thought, nah, this is a late April Fool coming through here. Somebody's at the wind-up. And then I just text somebody at the club and they get back to me and say, yeah, definitely. I thought, oh, a bit gutted, a bit deflated, because I just like the way he styled, I like the way he came across, the way he had his playing with Lennon Miller and Slattery, playing quite high, quite aggressive, was great to watch. He wasn't scared about changing the game. If it wasn't working, he would change formation, he would change personnel. So I was really looking forward to seeing what he was going to bring in the summer and what style he was going to bring us in next year or so. Just a bit sad. Obviously, you have to pass on your best wishes and hope everyone's okay with his family and that. Because at the end of the day, it's only football. Family has to be priority. So, but if you're going to lose a manager, if a manager's going to leave, it may as well be if the end of the season to give us that opportunity. Because if it happens 2 days before the season kicks off, you're like, that's not what you're wanting. So a bit sad, but again, it's probably a good time if it was going to happen.
When there are so many clubs looking for managers, Hugh, you know, the marketplace is going to be difficult. Do you have a suggestion for Motherwell who the next manager should be?
$1,000 question, isn't it, Hugh? You're obviously not thinking, oh, who's the new manager going to be, because you're not thinking this is going to happen. So I'm still a bit dazed. Mm-hmm. Thinking, like, who do you really want? Who would you want to see coming in with a different idea, a different perspective? And no disrespect to MDs out there a minute, but I've looked at a few Mullow forums and that, and they're all saying it. No to Tony Docherty. They don't want Tony Docherty. They want a president. I'm not saying Tony was a defensive manager. Any time I seen Dundee, I don't think they were as much better than us, really. But
they certainly weren't defensive. That's no. One thing. That is a word that should not be mentioned. Let's go back a bit. Let's reflect first, because I like Hugh's sort of reaction to the news. I think before you can even think about what's next, Cammy. I mean, I take it you were shocked. Is everybody shocked?
Yeah.
12 games. I mean, not sacked. Just, you know, went and.
shocked, is that the best word for it?
No, I think when the news came through, I was actually driving up the road and I heard it. And it takes you by surprise because he's just fresh in the door. He's a fresh face into Scottish football. And I was quite enjoying it. Hugh mentioned there on the call that he was enjoying the sort of style and then was looking forward to him putting his own stamp on it through the summer and having a pre-season with his team and his new players that he was going to bring in. And then all of a sudden it's gone away and they're back at square one. So, yes, shock is probably the word for it. But it'll be interesting the direction that Motherwell go in now because, again, they obviously went out and looked for a manager with a different style, a manager who didn't have any history in Scottish football. Do they still sit with that? Do they still look for the same model and type of manager?
Hugh, you would have to think that if you believed in the profile of Michael Vimmer 12 games ago and you've not sacked him, it's not that he's had bad results, you presumably still look for that profile, don't you? You presumably try and appoint the same type of coach.
Yeah, I would definitely like to think so. I like the way the club went, especially Brian Caldwell. I like the way he was looking forward and it was totally out of the box. And I think that totally shocked the sports media in Scotland where nobody had a clue. Not Michael Vimmer's name came up once. So it was good the way they went down the way. And I've got every faith with Brian as well to actually go and do it again because he came in with Michael Vimmer. It's just an unfortunate circumstance that's came up.
I take I take Hugh's point, you know, about it's if you're going to do it, you know, at least lose him at the end of the season and so on, which I think generally is fine. I'm not going to argue too much against that. But players have been told from the current squad that they're not getting new contracts. Players have been kept on. So it does bring a level of uncertainty. If you're a player, I don't know, an Andy Halliday or whoever who signed a new deal, then you think, you signed it. Maybe thinking, well, I like this guy and I like working. He likes me and so on. You don't know what the next manager's plans are. I think there's been a player signed. Is it Lucas Fadinger was the name? I think they were very close to a couple of others. So, look, I take Hugh's point. If you're going to do it, at least you've got a bit of time. But there's no way this is ideal, Hugh. Nobody wants to lose a manager after 12 games when you wanted to, you know, you wanted to keep him.
And always the possibility that Lennon Miller won't be there at the start of next season.
More than
a
possibility.
So it's a troubling time. You know, as I say, at a time when other clubs are looking for managers as well. And I do take your point that if you bought into a philosophy, then surely you want to sustain the philosophy. However, Brian Caldwell did the trick once. Can you do the same trick twice in a matter of months?
I suppose the other thing, Cammy, you know, as Hugh says, you can't argue if someone, he's got a new job, by the way, there's a new job there for him. He's gone to the German third tier, but the driving force here is, you know, his family issues. He's been quite open about struggling about being away from his son. Can sort of speak to what that would feel like. I also, and I don't really want to hammer the point and speculate whether I think there's an illness in the family as well, or an illness close. So again, you have to just respect that. However, football is like an emotional business, and also if you're a fan, I think you are allowed to feel a little bit sort of, you know, deflated or left behind, whatever it is. It's nothing personal against him, but I think the two can be allowed to coexist.
No, totally. And again, circumstances have dictated to him having to make this big decision. I'm pretty sure he didn't want to make this, and it's probably a combination of both things you've mentioned there coming to a head that he's had to make this decision to move back.
Because I think the club looked, is my understanding, they looked for solutions to help him and with the various issues that he was having.
I'm pretty sure they would have, and I'm pretty sure he looked for solutions as well. They probably just came to a head that they just couldn't find any ground that was going to work going forward. And again, he's probably looking at the best interests of the club as well. He would need to be fully committed to Motherwell for it to work. And obviously they've had the conversation, it's not going to work, so they need to move on. It's not ideal from a player's point of view. As you say, players have signed for him as a manager and then he leaves. And also the conversations he's had with players, whether it be you're not going to get a contract or you are getting a contract but they've not signed it yet, it's really unsettling at this moment in time, especially when Motherwell, I'm right in saying they don't have a sort of sporting director, football director in the background, so they've not got that guy that's
continuity
there.
Continuity.
Yes, they've not got it there.
One of the fascinating things about this one third of the league looking for managers, I listened to the first caller of the programme last night, Kilmarnock fan, who said he was angry at the very thought of Stuart Kettlewell becoming the Kilmarnock manager.
And we understand that there's a strong chance of that happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think he is the overwhelming favourite, and I don't see anyone getting the job before him. Well. Right, now we go on to Hugh on the line, talking about Motherwell. Definitely doesn't want Tony Docherty. I read one Rangers fan in the newspaper this morning saying, if Steven Gerrard's appointed at Rangers, I will never go back. So fans, they are divided. I don't think there's one appointment at Rangers, Dundee, Kilmarnock or Motherwell that will meet with 100% approval.
Hugh, do you think we saw enough to be really excited or really optimistic next season? Was it a kind of curiosity as to see how he would do with his own team? It just, you know, it felt so short. It was 12 games, 5 wins, 4 defeats, 3 draws. The high point was clearly the performance and result at Ibrox. There were some really bad ones in there. They then looked like the shackles came off a bit and did quite well towards the end of the season. Were you really, really behind them, or did we not get the chance to fully find out?
Oh no, I'll always back my team. They do frustrate you, you know, Gordon. Totally and utterly frustrate you. But I was excited to see what he was going to do next year. I was looking forward to it because, as I said, he totally changed formation with us. He played Slattery and Miller higher than the attacker. I think in the very, very first game, Luke Armstrong was named off in midfield. And it was Miller and Slattery was up front. So, and you've seen that with Slattery as well. I mean, he was outstanding for the remaining 12 games. It was like a brand new signing, what he came in with, especially after the injury he had. So it was fantastic to see what he'd done. So I was looking forward to seeing what style he was going to bring in, what changes he was going to bring in. And it's just one of those things that, yes, I'm sad to see him go. And I'm sorry that he's obviously went in the circumstances he's went. But I do wish him his family well. But we're still a club. We still have to look forward. And I still have faith in Brian. We have to go down that process again with a similar manager. That's why I'm not looking for Tony Docherty. And even Barry Ferguson, played manager round about that. We need somebody again who's different.
Hugh, like, and I'm totally with you, by the way, to before I sort of ask you this, because you know, this notion that it has to be these kind of same old names that you've heard before, I get why fans want to kind of rail against that. However, I wonder if this experience would maybe just make Motherwell be that 10% more cautious, so that the next guy might not be hundreds of miles away from his family. Do you know what I mean? Just to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Now, it could be a freak, it could be a one-off, it might be a complete rarity, but you wonder if, as a club, you would feel a little bit stung and just make sure that the next guy's family are here.
I did actually say that to one of my friends when I was speaking to him. I says, will this now put the club off from going a foreign manager again, where they might just stick to British, somebody who's local, somebody just down south? So is this going to be, as you say, a sting, a kicking...
And the
know what's. They say, wait a minute, right, if we go there again, are we going to get stung with this again? Are we going to be in a situation in a year's time where we're still looking for another manager? Or do we go with somebody who's in the UK and we can operate that? If they have an issue with family, they're only down the road, a few, 4 or 5 hours down the road max. So it's again, we can all have our opinion, but it's Brian Caldwell that really makes a decision at the end of the day. So I do wish Brian the best luck, and I do have faith he's got to bring in a good manager.
Look, we say all the time with players, you know, if you get a young player and he comes from the other end of the world and there's a cultural difference, you know, players need time to settle in and that sort of stuff. Maybe we don't think about it. I'll repeat, maybe this is a complete one-off, and maybe nobody at Motherwell is even thinking about this. Yeah. But if you can't afford this to happen again, maybe there's just something in the back of your head that says, well, the next manager can't be hundreds of miles from home. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. Look at Daizen Maeda, wife, expecting child, and he went back to Tokyo with her and had to leave and come back, the child not yet born. Look at Mrs. Gerrard, who apparently isn't keen on the idea of giving up life in Dubai.
Who have you been speaking to? How do you know that?
Oh yeah, I know the person who wrote the story, and the person who wrote the story would be 100% accurate. So all these things go on, but that's for Brian Caldwell to solve the problem.
Another managerial search is underway. There we go. It keeps us going here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, as does this. Beat the
Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Thank you very much to Hugh. Now it's your turn to step up to the plate on Beat the Pundit to take on Hugh Keevans or Cammy Bell and win yourself a sign ball. 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here. Absolutely no sign of Scottish football slowing down towards the end of the season. We've got the Scottish Cup final tomorrow, so we want all your thoughts on it. We've done quite a bit already, but still plenty of time for more. We now are up to 4 managerial vacancies in the top flight alone. It's before we even get to the likes of Partick Thistle. Michael Vimmer is the latest. So if you've any thoughts on Motherwell, Kilmarnock, Dundee or Rangers, you could do that this hour as well. What about the playoffs last night? Obviously an unsavoury end with some disgusting scenes from the stands, but in terms of tension and poise and drama, it's all still there because it's 1-1 after a late penalty equaliser for Ross County. So all your thoughts on any of the above or anything else, get them in right now and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Either Hugh Keevans or Cammy Bell standing by. Hugh, you would go very close to don't fall off your chair here. Very close to Roger Hannah with a win tonight. Now, I mean, he does start on -2, but I wouldn't even mention that. It's just an irrelevant stat. So that's what's at stake for you. And in fact, there you go, you win tonight, Roger loses Monday, boom, you're above him to end the season.
Beautiful.
That'd be the end of Scottish football, really, wouldn't it?
Beautiful. What an incentive. I need to start your -2 next season if that happens. David's on the line. How are you, David?
I'm great, guys.
Have you ever played this before?
I have not.
Good, I like that. What made you call tonight? You just fancy it?
I am out shopping for the missus in a
some people will do anything.
Some
people will do anything to avoid that task at hand, won't they? My goodness. Right, anyway, David, I'll toss the coin. If it's heads, you'll take on Hugh. Tails, Cammy Bell. Speaking of quizzing, did you hear your esteemed intellectual colleagues, Wilson and DL, tackle the big football quiz last night?
A low point in British broadcasting.
It was quite something, wasn't it? He nearly pulled it out of the bag at the end as well.
The one earlier in the week about the population of Motherwell.
Mm-hmm. That caused a rammy.
That took 20 minutes.
I know. Yeah.
I was sitting there in the kitchen as always and watching the clock run round, well, DL. And then they bring up, Cammy, they bring up the question of the census. And I thought, what chance is there of Gordon DL knowing what the census is?
Oh, it was quite something last night. If you want to hear a full hour of those two quizzing, and actually, do you know what? I'll put my cynicism to one side. Actually, it was very entertaining and they did very well on it. And the production staff pulled off a very impressive job on it. So you can go and listen back wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch back on the YouTube channel or whatever. So heads, it's Hugh Keevans. Tails, it's Cammy Bell. And it is tails. So Cammy Bell up against David from Lark Hall. So what we do here, David, is we switch on the music in Cammy's headphones only, and you just fire through these with 30 seconds about to go on the clock. You answer as many as you can, and you're allowed to pass and move on if you want, okay?
Right, perfect.
Good man, David. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name any championship side that took part in this year's Scottish Cup quarter-final.
Livingston.
Who scored the only goal of the final when Celtic beat Dunfermline in 2007?
John Hartson.
Who did Rangers play the last time they won the Scottish Cup in the final?
Hearts.
In what year did Hearts beat Hibs 5-1 in the final?
2013.
Which team have won more Scottish Cups, Aberdeen or Hearts?
Hearts.
Who did St Johnstone beat in the final when they won it in 2021?
St Man.
Okay, let's bring back Cammy Bell. Can you hear us?
Yes.
I actually feel bad. I should have mentioned before David started that there is a Scottish Cup theme to this. I just forgot to mention it. But do you know what? You get the gist after the first couple of questions.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Scottish Cup theme. Cammy Bell, your time starts now. Name any championship side that took part in this year's Scottish Cup quarter-final.
Great morning.
Who scored the only goal of the final when Celtic beat Dunfermline in 2007?
Pass.
Who did Rangers play the last time they won the Scottish Cup in the final?
Pass.
Who did Hearts, in what year did Hearts beat Hibs 5-1?
2013.
Who's got more Scottish Cups, Aberdeen or Hearts?
Hearts.
Which team
you started?
I think so.
Aye.
Which team did St Johnston beat in the final when they won it in 2021?
Livingston.
Okay. What are you thinking, David?
I think I got it with one.
Did you? Let's find out. Let's find out. Name any championship side that took part in the quarter final. You had the choice of Queen's Park or Livy. 1-0 to David. Who scored the only goal of the final when Celtic beat Dunfermline in 2007?
Dumbie.
Jean-Joël Perrier-Dumbie.
Never
remember that? No? Yep. Okay.
Worst final ever.
Who did Rangers play in the final the last time they won the competition? It was Hearts. 2-0 to David.
Stinker.
In what year did Hibs lose 5-1 to Hearts? You were both close, but it was 2012. Still 2-0, David. Hearts have more Scottish Cups than Aberdeen by one. It's 8-7. And which team did St Johnston beat in the final? They won it in 2021. It was Hibs. That was the League Cup final you were thinking of, Livy. So you're right, David, you have taken it. It is a, what is that, a 3-1, I think? 3-1 victory for David and Lark Hall. Well done to you, David.
That's brilliant. Cheers.
Are you happy? Well done, David boy.
That's us even for that howler against Marl.
I've been banned from bringing this up, David, and I do so well to bite my tongue over it.
No, you don't.
So when was the last time I brought it up?
Listen, I'm well and truly okay with it just now.
When was the last time I brought it up?
I normally bring it up, actually,
exactly.
More than anyone else.
See, you second guess it. I don't bring it up that often.
Which howler?
I want to. Oh, don't make us elaborate. David, you obviously have just shown your hand as being a Rangers fan. What are you thinking at the moment? It's gone a little bit quieter today, but nevertheless, it's been dominating this week about the manager. What are you saying?
I'm all for Gerrard, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't buy into the one trophy in nine, because the first season and a half he was rebuilding Pedro's team.
Yeah. Is this if you had like have you been ahead of, you know, behind the Gerrard shout from the start, or is this based on this shortlist sort of thing that we see? And is Gerrard the best of them, or even wider, is he definitely the number one man that you want out of everyone?
No, just through what's gone recently, what's the best of a bunch, really. There's not a lot gone.
David raises an interesting point, this point about 1-9 for Steven Gerrard, and David is willing to exonerate him from blame for the first season and a bit because he was rebuilding Pedro Caixinha's team. Well, whoever comes in now, David,
yeah,
will be expected to win the league first pop while not having Hadji, possibly Cherny, and others going out the door and rebuilding on a Rangers team who had an awful season. So have you already written off next season?
See aside from the usual Glasgow bravado, I totally get it. Second is nowhere. These clubs are built on winning trophies, etc, etc. Deep down, in terms of realistic, would the Rangers, I'm not going to say settle, because you'll just say no, but if the new manager came in, say won a cup, got a proper tilt at the title, narrowly missed out, that would still be palatable, would it not? You know, like in terms of a sign of progression.
I agree with you. And then I'll say one other thing about Planet Glasgow.
I know, but at some point we need a bit of common sense.
Yeah,
no?
of course, but we also have to reflect on the place where we work and live. If Celtic win the title next season, that's 56 titles.
David, you mentioned the Pedro thing. Do you think there's a bigger rebuild just now or when Gerrard came in the last time?
Truthfully, the new.
Really, though?
Our best players are aging and left. Conor Goldson, Tavernier.
I do get McGregor. That. But you were in a worse place then, were you not?
Do you think?
Well, finished third.
Yeah, I get it. But much worse or just worse?
Right, well, they finished third and had absolutely no European pedigree to speak of before Steven Gerrard came in. So whoever comes in this time has a team that finished second, can at least kind of sometimes on its day deal with Celtic.
Yep.
And
players wise though,
and can do well.
Do you think you've got a better group of players? Yeah,
I mean 100%.
100%. Yep. Okay.
And I get the point. There's still a bit of flux because ownership, and we don't know who's leaving, and you'd rather keep Cherney, and we don't know what's happening with these.
Yep.
But I wouldn't do it. I don't want to be disrespectful to the players, but I think if you want to do it in your own time, go and look at Pedro.
No, I would agree with you.
The season before, Go and look at the starting 11 that finished the last game. Compare that to the starting 11 that finished Rangers' last game of this season. I think it's different.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, but you know, I do take your point. Win a cup, have a good tilt at the title, and that's all perfectly reasonable, rational stuff. And then I go to the irrational and the unreasonable, and they will say if Celtic win 56, title number 56, then the Rangers support will be deeply upset.
Oh, and listen, I totally get that. But what I mean is, if you're going, okay, clean slate, new era, Andrew Kavanagh, etc., etc., rebuild, this is our guy, we put everything behind him, and he loses the title by a point and wins a cup, then you sack him again, you do it all again.
No.
That's kind of what I mean.
Progression's key. Progression's key for Rangers
next
season.
By the way, I still agree with you to a point. It would need to be big progression. I don't think you could say, oh, we were 2 points better off. You know, it's not going to be, that's not going to be enough.
No.
But we, Rangers can't just sack, can't just keep sacking the next guy.
But they need to be a lot closer to Celtic.
100%.
And that's
yeah. David, the other names then are just not really doing it for you. Russell Martin, Davide Ancelotti.
No, Russell Martin plays good stuff. I just probably bitterness in my part of what he was like as a player for us.
Fair enough.
Like, he plays some good stuff.
But what he's like as a player is of no relevance. It is what he's like as a manager that's the topic now.
No, absolutely, I agree. But like I said, that's just my bitterness.
Yeah, I think we're all allowed it, really. At least he's admitting it.
Yeah. Russell Martin plays, as David says, plays a really good style of football. Does that suit Scottish football? Does it work all the time? Again, I think you need to have that plan B. We know some places are difficult to go in Scotland in the winter, and the pitches sometimes aren't great. So, yeah, it's just, and it's all about winning. He knows that as well. He's been at Rangers, so he understands that the winning mentality needs to be there. But yeah, I think he certainly would need to have a sort of plan B rather than just that out-and-out expansive football.
It's mad here, isn't it?
Yes.
Mad.
It is, indeed. Thank you very much to one David. Let's bring another. This one from Uddingston. How are you, David?
How's it going, lads?
What are you thinking tonight?
I'm kind of staggered at some of the comments to Rangers fans towards Steven Gerrard possibly getting a job. It amazes me that anybody thinks there's another guy out there that could do a better job than him. Now, I get the fact that, you know, he left for Aston Villa and whatever. I mean, that kind of stuck in the throat things. But he wanted more money. People need to realise Steven Gerrard came in an absolute shambles at Ibrox. And he was given a chance to win 55 and stoke 10 to Celtic. Now, he wasn't going to do that in his first season. But what he's certainly done was season upon season progression. And arguably, he'd probably get about 90% of his signings right. Now, you kind of get all your signings right. But when it came to the crunch, he got a hell of a lot of signings right. He brought a lot of good players in and get sell them on for. I mean, we were bringing in guys like Bassey, Nixon on. But look at the money we got for Bassey. Glenn Kamara, £50,000. Joe Aribo brings up Defoe. I'm staggered at some of the comments for Rangers fans that they don't want Gerrard in. Now, I get this, the guy Ancelotti and whatever, but the problem is with the guy Ancelotti, Steven Gerrard knows there's a powder up here and he knows the goalpost ball in Glasgow, so we can't have a project here. Now, people going, oh, Steve, he's, I don't care what he done at Aston Villa, about where he done, you know, Etifact, you know, that I couldn't care less what he done there, but he done the job with Rangers, and I'm kind of staggered. It's quite it annoys me at times, some of the comments for Rangers fans. It really does.
See, as usual here though, David, I wonder if the truth is just somewhere in the middle. I mean, I sort of put it back to a caller the other night who said, you know, 1-9 not good enough, and you know, sort of, I was presenting that other argument that Hugh mentions of, well, he was never realistically going to win the first kind of couple of titles or whatever. It felt like a long way off, so maybe 1-9 is a bit selective. However, is there a middle ground where he maybe still should have done more? You know, do you absolve him from all of it? You look at those 9 trophies, but you know, there were some disappointments in there. Should he have won more in his first spell?
Oh, listen, no question. I mean, look at 1-9, but Hugh's bang on as well, because I don't think he was going to come in and just walk in and start winning trophies. But I mean, I've no answer for going about referees, but again, the cup final played Celtic half the park. Julian was miles off. I mean, a couple of times we really should have. We should have won there under Gerrard. But the bottom line was, he gave us the standards lifted at Ibrox the minute he came in the door, even in Europe as well. I mean, we've been knocked out against Progress and Niederkorn, and they came into Ibrox and they qualified every single season in Europe in the group, in the Europa Leagues. And what this 1-9 as well staggers me. What were they expecting, Steven Gerrard, today when they come in the door? Hugh's bang on. He's not exactly going to walk in the door and start winning titles against a Celtic juggernaut.
David, are you slightly surprised that it hasn't been done yet? That there still seems to be some dubiety over whether Steven Gerrard will be coming at all?
Well, Hugh, that is my concern. That is my concern. Because I think if it was going to be Steven Gerrard, he would have maybe, the deal might have been done. So I kind of, people going out with the betting, I mean, the betting, that goes out the window when it comes to managers, because the betting closes after somebody puts a tenner on somebody in a manager. I've got to be honest with you, I've been very, very disappointed if Steven Gerrard doesn't get a job. Really disappointed.
I'm about to do what I would definitely criticise other people for doing and completely speculate. I just, sometimes you maybe, because we don't know all the ins and outs, there could be a million things that we just on the outside don't think of. Yeah. You know, like, at Steven Gerrard's own situation, having been working in Saudi, and when he's then able to work again, and tax implications. No, yeah. Listen, I'm almost ashamed of myself for mentioning it, because I have no idea. But you know what I mean? Just that there can be a list of things behind the scenes that we maybe don't think about.
Every detail is examined forensically now. I mean, apparently, Steven Gerrard yesterday posted a photograph of himself and his family in Bahrain.
He was in a Rangers pub, wasn't he?
Well,
I'm only kidding.
I'm not sure, but are you posting that photograph to say, would you leave here? You know,
even see now we're all speculating. It's great fun. Hugh's the most impatient person I've ever met when it comes to football. So leave him out of this, because I know how he feels. Is time of the essence here? It's Friday night, to state the obvious. Would you expect next week?
Yeah, time's pressing for Rangers. It's just purely on the basis there's a lot to be done on and off the pitch. A number of players, as we mentioned before, the squad needs an overhaul. Players need to leave. There'll be players that need brought in. Obviously, the manager needs to get his backroom staff in. The season's soon approaching. It comes fast at Rangers. And again, for me, one of Rangers' most important games of the season is their first game. They play in the European qualifiers and stuff, and they're really, really important to where Rangers' season goes. So I think there's got to be an announcement soon. What David says there, he doesn't understand. I think Steven Gerrard's a good managerial appointment. I really do, because I think he understands the club. I think he's a very good manager as well. I also think he'll have learned a lot from his previous time that he was at Rangers, and since he's been away from the club as well. So yeah, I just think that the club need to get done. But there's so many moving parts. Obviously, the ownership hasn't been confirmed yet. So yeah, but managerial, need to get him in.
Thank you, David. 0141 951 1025. You want to keep going on the managerial vacancies? There are many of them. You want to go to the cup final, playoffs last night? We've not really done much on that yet. You take your pick, and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are in the building. Give us your thoughts on whatever's happening tonight. 0141 951 1025. I've got a good teaser for you. Thanks to Robert Beaton, who sent it in. He says, can you name, since 2008, 7 non-European players to score in a men's Scottish Cup final? So since 2008, there have been 7 non-European players who've scored in a men's Scottish Cup final. Can you name them?
Kyogo.
He says, as always, it's football nationality. That doesn't change too much about the question, but it is worth bearing in mind. Kyogo, correct.
Maeda?
No.
Hatate?
No.
Izagiri?
Oh, I cannot believe that was your next shout. A guy who, like, famously didn't really score many goals.
Yeah, well,
Cammy, any that spring to mind? So since 2008, seven non-European players to score in a men's Scottish Cup final.
Ryan McGowan.
Yes.
Yes, good shout that.
Australian. In what year?
2011.
No, we just covered it and beat the pundit, for goodness
2012.
sake. 2012. 5-1. Okay, we'll leave it there, because you're doing not too badly. You've got two out of seven. If you like the sound of it, we are always looking for questions on the full time teaser. So Robert fired up the email with that one on it. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. Ian is from Paisley, but he's an Aberdeen fan. I've been hoping for one on the line tonight, Ian, because by the sounds of it, they're all writing you off. How do you feel?
How you doing, Dave?
Good.
How you doing, Gordon? Tommy. Dearie me. But, when you, well, first of all, Lambston Slaughter, seriously.
I know, honestly, I genuinely didn't mean it. You know I'm an honest man, Ian. I see. Yeah. It's the pitfalls of live broadcasting. Once it's out, it's too late.
It's out, Gordon, I know. I lost my head off, but then after listening to a few conversations, I'd be 6-0 down, 7-0 down. I'm going to quit supporting Celtic if I know 5-0 up at half time. We had Hugh. Oh, dearie me, come on. Grossly, what was it? Grossly
inferior.
Grossly inferior. And I was like, oh, no. I usually enjoy listening to this channel. And I'm like, oh, my head almost exploded through the YouTube channel when I was listening to it.
Statistically speaking, they are grossly inferior. They finished 39 points behind Celtic.
Okay.
I also lectured the Celtic fans on the subject of being dismissive and being disrespectful, but Aberdeen are inferior to Celtic.
Okay, being realistic, I want to talk mostly about how we're feeling and the Aberdeen fans in general. We know that this is going to be extremely tough, and we do know that Celtic are grossly
Superior.
We know this, but just like you remember the beginning of the season, we won a few games, and I think about Ross County, we started singing, you know, sod you Celtic, we're going to win the league. None of us, it hurt the headlines and everything, none of us actually, none of us knew we were going to win the league, although we never expected what was going to happen next. I think the general consensus is, and I was up in Aberdeen yesterday, they've painted the city red. We're all excited, but the big thing is we enjoy a day out, and 20,000 Aberdeen fans are coming down. We're all good-humoured, or the majority of us are. And even if we lose, and look, if we lose 5 or 6-0, you know we're going to roll out the stadium. We're going to back the boys. And half the team that we've got have never experienced Hampden like this, and it's going to be difficult because they're going to have to put up with a strong Celtic team, but also the atmosphere as well. They're going to be a bit shell-shocked with it. Either way, we're going to support the team, and I just want to say we're going to have a good time. Yeah.
I think that's the perfect level of sort of feeling from the balance between these sides. I don't feel strongly enough because I think Celtic are going to win the game, and I can't see anything other. So I'm not going to argue when Hugh says, you know, they're miles ahead of Aberdeen. Mm. I think the point I was trying to make earlier, let me be really pedantic about it. You've got a football pyramid. You've got a league system for a reason. It is the best representation of where teams are. League table never lies, etc. According to our league system, there are only three teams better equipped to beat Celtic than Aberdeen. Do I think they'll win it? No. But do you see what I mean? I think you're in danger of getting carried. It's not Albion Rovers against Celtic. Sorry, Albion Rovers fans. You know, there are only three teams, in theory, who should have a better chance of beating Celtic than Aberdeen do, if you base it on the league table.
Yeah, no, listen, I totally get it. And again, we said before that Aberdeen will go down believing they can win. Of course they will. They'll know that it's a huge task ahead of them, but the players will go down believing they can get a result. They've had a result at Celtic Park this season, albeit it was a draw. It's been an indifferent season for them. Can they find that form that they had in that incredible run at the start of the season? Can they have one special magical moment within the game and hold on, ride their luck, have all these things going for them? The Aberdeen fans will go down believing that as well, that this special day can come. And as you mentioned, like the gulf yes, it's big when you look, I would certainly say when you look at player against player, that they're far better players at Celtic, which we understand. But again, there's circumstances within a game that can just flip it.
I think I'm trying to put myself in the conversation, Hugh, and I know you weren't, but if the callers earlier were, the scoreline, the predictions were massive, what would we be saying if this was Celtic against Airdrie instead of Aberdeen? You know, by that logic, yeah, would we be predicting 15-0? No, we wouldn't. No. So I just feel like we need to...
I remember Celtic versus Airdrie.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Burden's
different Airdrie. In terms of the
one trophy that Tommy won for Celtic, and it was a struggle. Pierre Van Hooijdonk goal, and the rest of it was a struggle.
Even down to something as, I'm not saying this really impacts the football match, but you can run out to over 20,000 Aberdeen fans. You know, let's try and treat this like a big final between two of our biggest sides. Celtic will be overwhelming favourites to everyone. I feel like some of the conversation, I get where Ian's coming from.
But you expect the Aberdeen players to raise their game. Ian's mentioned there that a number of these players haven't had that opportunity or experience at Hampden, a big cup final. It's sometimes once in a lifetime opportunity for these guys to get to play in a cup final. Yes, they'll want more of it, but they might not get the opportunity, so they need to grab that opportunity. They've got the opportunity to put themselves in history tomorrow, so that's got to raise their game. They've got to find the highest level they can tomorrow.
Ian, is there anything in particular you need to do with the team or want to do with the team, or, you know, things that give you the best chance?
There is. I mean, Brendan Rodgers knows how to break through us completely, completely well. I think for us, it depends where he puts Shinny. At the moment, he's been at left back, and he's been really good there. But Aberdeen or Jimmy Keelan has been enjoying this high press against most of their teams. The issue is this high press. The defenders like Jensen and Shinny have gone up too far, and when there's a mistake and the ball's get lobbed over their head, they're just not fast enough to get back, especially Shinny's poor legs. And against Maeda, Jota, people like that, we're going to get slaughtered if they do that. So they're going to, I believe at the start, rather than come out all guns blazing, kind of relax a bit, try and read the game and, suss their own opposition out. Hopefully don't do zonal marking either. And maybe, you never know. I mean, Clarkson, for instance, hopefully he'll be on for the full game, and just a lucky free kick from him, you know.
He's got it all planned out.
It might be the difference.
Lucky free kick. Shinny's an interesting one because I think Ian's right, you can over the piece, has played quite well at left back. Then had a really tough night though in that game at Pittodrie, yeah, didn't he, against James Forrest a couple, you know, was that last midweek?
Ian, you mentioned there of the high press. I can't see them doing that against Celtic. I firmly believe they'll go in and probably play a low block with, yes, that spring of going forward and trying to catch Celtic on the counter-attack. But they need to frustrate Celtic. That's what they need to do. They need to again, probably as Ian said, feel their way into the game, make sure in the first 30 minutes they don't concede, because as I said before, the longer that Celtic don't score, the players will get frustrated, the fans will get frustrated, and that will play into Aberdeen's hands. So it's important how they start the match.
Thank you, Ian. Let's bring in a fellow Aberdeen fan for you. Callum is on the line. How are you feeling, Callum?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Confident?
Of course.
Good.
I don't see why not. I just, like everybody else keeps saying, you know, it's a one-off game. And there's nine of us going down in two cars tomorrow. And like we said after the semi-final, I wouldn't be going down if I didn't believe we could win it.
Where does the belief come from, Callum? Because obviously, like, recent form and all that sort of stuff, you know, would point to Celtic. So what's the kind of thing that's given you the belief?
This sounds a bit crazy, but I'm a firm believer in the law of averages. Is that, you know, Celtic can beat you 9 times out of 10, but on the 10th time Aberdeen's got to beat Celtic eventually, because it's been quite a while league wise and league cup wise and even Scottish Cups. I'm struggling to remember how long back we've been since we've last beat Celtic, and I think it's long overdue, and I think tomorrow could just be that day.
I actually don't mind it, Hugh, because it's one of those things you can just float that out there, because obviously Callum's right. Celtic will not win every cup final from now to the end of time. I mean, listen, it's not based on much. There's not then kind of evidence to back up your suggestion.
but why not?
The law of averages is an allowable piece of evidence to throw in. However, I wouldn't just like to be relying on the law of averages against Celtic.
Yeah, again, I wonder if that comes back to what we said earlier, though, Cammy. If this was, although I'm saying that, you know, they won't win every final forever, it's not like we're not talking about Championship opposition here. We're not talking about League One opposition. Maybe they would win it forever against that. Surely we can give Aberdeen enough credit to say that if they're bang at it and Celtic are a bit off it, and then they get an awful lot of luck, or a refereeing decision goes their way, or whatever, it becomes very possible, or I mean, not likely, but
believable,
understandable. Yeah. You know, not this like earth-shattering, worldwide famous cup shock. You know, that shouldn't be what it is. As much as we all expect Celtic to win.
No, as you say, they're in the same league, so they've played each other a number of times this season. Yes, Celtic have came out on top. A lot of them were scoring a lot of goals, but Aberdeen have scored goals as well. They just need to shore up at the back. So maybe that's a tactical change that Jimmy Tilleen looks at. And again, a style of play, as I say, will they play that sort of low block, try and frustrate Celtic? And you mentioned it there. You need to ride your luck. You need to have luck on your side on the day.
I'm going to ask you to predict the score, and you're going to say 4-0 Celtic.
Yeah, but again, that's me saying that the Aberdeen players have got to go down there and believe they can win that game.
Who's the star man going to be, Callum? Who are you pinning your hopes on?
I would say Toby Keskinen. I was listening to a question. Answer session with Meadoff, and he said that Keskinen has got such a powerful strike, and he was telling us, he says, I've been trying to encourage Toby to try and shoot from distance because he's got such a ferocious shot, a lot of power behind it, that, you know, he doesn't seem to have enough belief in himself yet. But I think he's the kind of guy that's got, you know, he's got a bit of finesse. He scored a cracking goal against Dundee, and I think he could be the man.
Don't mind it, Callum. Don't mind your confidence at all. That was Callum from Aberdeen on 0141 951 1025. Your question tonight is Scottish Cup themed, of course. Yep. Since 2008, can you name 7 non-European players to score in a men's Scottish Cup final? You've got Kyogo and Ryan McGowan.
Just Tom Rogic.
A very quick caveat that it's football nationality.
Tom Rogic.
Of course, famously.
Aberdeen.
Against Aberdeen. There we go. Okay.
One I've got written down, Key, did he score?
Yep. Trying to forget about that one against Motherwell. You've got 3 to get, and we'll get them next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One, Super Scoreboard.
We are into the final part of our Scottish Cup final preview show. There are other stories and many of them doing the rounds, so whichever one it is that makes you interested, give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. We're also working our way through the full-time teaser. You can just shout your answers out at the radio if you think you know better. And more importantly, why not send us a question? You send us one in, and we'll see if the pundits can answer your question. So that's what Robert Beaton did tonight on the email fulltime@clyde1.com. Since 2008, can you name the last 7 non-Europeans to score in a men's Scottish Cup final? It is football nationality. That caveat only really applies to one of these that might throw you off. So Kyogo, Tom Rogic, Ryan McGowan and Ki Sung Young is what you've got so far. 3 remaining.
Football nationality, Olivier Ncham.
Yes, I think born in France, played for Cameroon. So he scored in 2018 against Motherwell, I think. 2 to get. 2 to get. So I'll give you and the listeners slash viewers a bit of a clue. The 2 you're looking for, one is a former Rangers player and the other is a non-Old Firm player, but one of our bigger clubs, most prominent clubs in Scottish Cup finals and so on. One was in 2008, the former Rangers player, and the other one is 2019. I don't really expect that to help you two, no offence, no. But I just thought I'd nudge the listeners in the right direction. Okay.
2008 for Rangers.
We always tend to whiz round some of the big talking points that we've not got to in the last part of the show. Livingston 1, Ross County 1. Look, it's a football match and it's an important one. So let's quickly deal with the unsavoury bit, Hugh. Yeah. An allegation of spitting from a Livingston fan to the staff of Ross County. Livingston have issued a statement tonight. I'll quickly take you through some of the highlights, if you like. I have identified the person involved. Details have been passed to police. A lifetime ban to the individual, speaking to the relevant authorities to ask for that ban to be made countrywide. He spoke to his Ross, the club have spoke to Ross County and, you know, fully apologetic and so on, to the club itself and to Carl Tremarco, who was the member of staff in question.
Yeah, I was glad that David Martindale, the Livy manager, called it out, that there's been a terrible decline in behaviour and a terrible upsurge in abuse within Scottish football. We had awful events last weekend. Again, Police Scotland involved in what happened at Tannadice. There's no point in being mealy-mouthed about it. It's a national disgrace, and people ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Without getting too deep and straying into territory that, that is above our pay grade on Super Scoreboard, the good thing about it is, Cammy, there's no debate here. You talk about done, David Martindale, but I mean, how could you not? It's just so objectively ridiculous. Yep. You're not going to get anyone who says, ah, but what about this? You know, no. There is no but. Similarly, in terms of football, how do you stop idiots being idiots? You know, if there's a kind of widespread cult, you know, you can talk about flares getting into stadiums alcohol bans or whatever. How do you stop an individual being an idiot is tough, but at least Livy are doing what they can to react to what's happening.
Yeah, so what I would say is that Livy have done well in this situation. They've reacted really quickly as well. So obviously they've worked along with the authorities to identify the person. They've moved quickly on this, and again they've not just banned them from their stadium. They're asking for it to go further afield, which is completely right. I mean, that person should never be in a football stadium again, because that behaviour is just unacceptable. And again, it's difficult, because as you say, how do you stop individuals acting in them way? It's difficult, but all the clubs can do is act in the appropriate manner, and Livingston have done that.
Yeah, I always feel sorry for clubs, you know, that if you have a crowd of X thousand people, how are you supposed to legislate for every single individual inside that ground?
Well, and that is a good thing. I don't think anyone is holding this against Livingston.
No.
But I don't mean to be blasé or very general. We all know idiotic people, you know, not very nice people, and it's almost like that's just what you see here, whether it's a desire to offend or hurt or react in a way that, you know, is kind of, I don't know what it is it a, you know, loss of any sort of moral compass? I don't know, but it's obviously not what you want to see.
No, but again, Fraser Wishart has been very strong on this. People must be protected, whether it's players or officials of the club, that when they're on the touchline or on the park, that's their place of work. You can't have people assaulted at their place of work. And it is on the rise, and football knows it's on the rise. And as I say, people really do have to have a look at themselves. In actual fact, the whole thing arises from a penalty that, in my estimation, was a penalty.
Yeah, what did you make of it? It was the big talking point of the game, and Livy don't have VAR in the Championship season, and they do in the playoffs. So,
yeah, no, I agree with you. I probably think it is a penalty when we've got VAR available on it, and I think you just need to be a little bit more sensible in that moment in the game. I think it was a dangerous decision to make. You're always going to ask the question of VAR to intervene. So, I do believe it was.
Is it one of those that, You might feel a bit hard done by, you might feel it's harsh, but you can't really build a case as to why it's not a penalty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, no one's, it's not the worst challenge you'll see.
No, it's not.
And you know, it's not a disgrace, but if you hold someone's shirt for that long, if the shirt is sort of extended away from the body and it impacts the player getting to the ball,
It's going to get looked at.
Yeah, it's going to get given, really, isn't it?
Of course it is. And again, it's possibly just because Livingston, as you mentioned, haven't been used to VAR, and they maybe get away with that in the Championship, but then obviously these games,
what's it done to the tie then?
I think the tie is
just as it looks.
You know, you wouldn't put it past Livy going there and winning. I don't believe that you can be confident enough in Ross County that they will definitely pull off the great escape yet again in Dingwall. I think it's a clean sheet of paper. And it wouldn't surprise me if Livy won, and it wouldn't surprise me if Ross County won.
Yeah, I think that sounds fair. Cammy, was a draw about right last night as well, or?
Yeah, I was actually a little bit disappointed with the game. I thought they were doing a little bit more quality in it, and but again, it's very tense. It's tight. I don't think there is much between the teams, so this one could go either way. I thought Livingston potentially had to take a lead up to Dingwall, but I can also see them going up there and winning. So I think it's going to be a really, really tight one.
I mean, fair play, Ronan Hale. It's a pressure penalty.
Yeah. Put it away nicely.
I'm not sure that's how I'd take a pressure penalty. That's not saying much.
Ronan Hale is the one that could make the difference for Ross County, because he just has a happy knack of scoring. So I'd be looking out for him. But they are so evenly matched. Some people will be hoping Libby lose because they can't stand going to that particular ground. Others will be hoping Ross County lose because Dingwall's too far away.
Oh, honestly. As Hugh says, we've got plenty to look forward to there. It is very close. Indeed, in terms of flying round some of the other talking points, come on, goalkeeping expert Craig Gordon, new contract at Hearts. He is 42 years of age currently, turns 43 at the end of the year. And he's got another contract.
Amazing. No, it was great to see Craig signing another contract, because I knew he wanted to. I know he wants, and he firmly believes he's still got something to offer. And I don't think Craig would sign a contract if he didn't believe he had something to offer the club. And yeah, listen, he keeps himself fit. He had that period that he missed a lot of football. He was almost out of the game, and I think that's drove him on to being where he is today. So yeah, congratulations to Craig. Brilliant that he signed a new deal.
First order of business for Derek McInnes. I mean, these big clubs, I'm sure the wheels are in motion and there are structures in place. But
if there were evidence of a serious downturn in Craig Gordon's performances, then you would say, what? Another contract? But that hasn't been the case. And he deserves, I imagine, his final season.
Is this the time, though, where you need to be, you know, would you expect, could he be number two, you know, although he's got a new contract? So does Dander Clark signed one previously, didn't he, as well? Have I got that wrong?
Listen, I don't think he'll be signing that to be number two, absolutely not. And why should he, when he's been number one the whole season? For me, is he still the best goalkeeper at the club? Yes, because I look at last season, Xander couldn't get him out of the team. So for me, Craig's still the number one, and it'll be up to Xander to try and take that off him. Yes, age plays. Does it play a part, or doesn't it? As long as Craig's doing it on the pitch, then that's it.
Okay, we're almost done. So we'll get yours tomorrow, but we've tried our best. We've made a case for Aberdeen. We've tried to give them some respect. What's your score prediction for tomorrow, Cammy Bell?
4-1 to Celtic.
Tried. You can give us yours tomorrow. You can sleep on it. Yeah. I know the nation will be waiting to find out how you see it going.
I don't want to put the nation off their sleep.
Exactly. Yes, and we know you're the man for the big occasion. So we'll do it tomorrow. Right, the teaser. The last 7 non-European players to score in a men's Scottish Cup final: Kyogo, Cham, Rogic, Ryan McGowan and Key. You're looking for a former Rangers player, 2008. American.
Oh,
the Nokia's making noise.
Edu?
No. So the few Americans, a winger rather than a central.
Oh,
leader.
Beasley.
DeMarcus Beasley.
Beasley.
And Hearts 2019 Australian.
And what position?
Fielder. Used to play for Partick Thistle as well. Long hair.
Edwards.
Ryan Edwards. Well done. Looking forward to tomorrow. Hope you all are as well. Clyde One Super Scoreboard comes live from Hampden. Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and myself will be there, of course. Mr. Clyde One Super Scoreboard Hugh Keevans has to stay here and look after things, along with Andrew McLean and Scott Allen. So a full team for you involved tomorrow. Usual time on a Saturday, 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us and enjoy the rest of your Friday. It's meant to be the last of the sunshine as well, isn't it? Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but one man who can keep you entertained for sure is George Bowie. He's up next, and we will speak to you 2 o'clock tomorrow.